This is the Hoboken Grace Podcast. Whether you're in the car or enjoying a walk, we hope you're having a great day. Just like every weekly conversation, we hope today's message deepens your relationship with God and builds into your life in a helpful way. For access to our full podcast library, visit hobokengrace.com or our app.
Awesome, awesome. Well, my name is Anthony. For those of you who don't know me, we excited? That's good, that's good. 11 o'clock, so I was a little bit more awake. I do have a PSA before we get started here today. My wife and I went to a concert on Friday, first concert in a long time. It's a Christian concert. We enjoyed ourselves. But if you are experiencing the concert through the lens of your phone, you're doing it wrong. Just want to put that out there. And if you are going Facebook Live and your one friend tunes in, it's not going well, my friend. So I'm just going to encourage you to not do that. Enjoy the concert. Be in the moment. Break free of that. Okay? So, like I said, doesn't have much to do with it. But we're in week 5 of a series called Break Free. And we have been looking at the mission statement of Jesus. That this is what Jesus came to do. This is what Jesus is all about. It says it this way. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." This is what Jesus is saying. "For he has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." Jesus is about bringing freedom. He's about releasing you from what has held you captive, what oppresses you, what oppresses you that he would set you free. This is what Jesus is about. And as he walks out of that tomb on Easter, he proclaims, "I know the way to life. I want you to experience real life." He says it this way as well. He says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." He says he doesn't want you just to be breathing. He wants you to experience the fullness of what life has to offer. And as we've seen, and we've been walking through this series, we've been saying, okay, Jesus, if this is what you're about, how does that look like? How do we go about doing that? And as we established in week 1, this journey begins when we confess that Jesus is our Lord, that he is our King. And as we've said in every week, Jesus is as Lord of our life isn't just a reality statement, it's a relationship statement. And we're saying, "Jesus, I believe that you are Lord of my life, and I believe that you know the way to life." And once you declare that, you begin to step into this relationship that Jesus has for you, and you begin to experience what he wants you to know. And once we've established that baseline, there's these things that he wants us to learn, and that he wants us to learn about this freedom that he brings into our lives. In week 2, we looked at the freedom of the transaction, right? Every relationship. We learned that every relationship in our lives is transactional, except for God. God says, but not ours. There's a paid transaction. Jesus paid that transaction. There is no more transaction, and you are unconditionally loved. And not only that, not only are you loved, but as we learned in week 3, he also frees us from the punishment and the penalty that is due for how we've hurt those and that when we've spit in the face of God. He reminds us that we've been forgiven and that there's something that he wants us to do over and over and over again, a practice, the practice of communion, right? We talked about that in week 3, that we remember how much he pursued us to set us free. And it's something that I hope you will continue to do week after week. We have those tables that are around the room every single week for you to be able to experience that. And last week, Pastor Chris showed us that this isn't just about what Jesus wants to do externally. It's about what he does for us internally as well. And he frees us from being who you used to be. He frees us from what used to define you. He frees us from what used to be you. He sets you apart. He declares that you are righteous, righteous because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. And he gives you a new identity, a better identity than you could have even asked for. And there's so much more that he wants to do now that and there's so much more that he can do if you would just let him. Because when you realize that you're forgiven, when you realize that you are loved unconditionally, and when you realize that you've been set apart, it has the power to change your behavior. Now, wait a minute, Anthony. I thought you said, Pastor Chris said that this has nothing to do with my behavior. Well, I'm not talking about earning your salvation and your forgiveness. If there's one thing you should take away from this series, it's that. It's that you can't earn your salvation. But I'm talking about what changes in you when you start to realize all that Jesus has done for you. I want to take you to a story that I think just perfectly illustrates what Jesus wants to bring into your life. And yet, it's another way that he brings freedom and a powerful way that you can actually experience him. And in this particular account of Jesus' life, he does something that's pretty remarkable. And to set the scene, during this time, as you can imagine, roads weren't paved. Roads were dirt. They consisted of dirt roads. And if you ever walked a dirt road, you know how easy it is to kick up the dirt and for everything to become dusty. Well, in fact, growing up, there was a dirt road not too far from where I lived in Colorado. And me and a bunch of guys, we'd jump into our cars and we would make a contest to see how big of a dust storm we could create and kick up on that street. We were morons. But still, it shows how much a dirt road can actually make a mess. Now, what's more, couple that with animals who are walking along these roads, and if you've ever seen a parade, you know they just kind of go whenever they want. Well, that's the same thing that's happening, right? So you have a lot of dust, you have a lot of dirt, you have animals doing their business. So during Jesus' time, they didn't have fancy sneakers or even shoes that were able to keep one's feet clean. In those times, sandals were made of animal skins, and as you can imagine, they were difficult to clean, and as you can imagine, they were also likely to become caked in dirt. And so they were regarded actually as emblems. These are the sandals. The sandals were regarded as emblems of filth and usually left outside of homes and temples. Now, when a visitor arrived in a Jewish home, for instance, the host would prepare a basin of water for the traveler to wash his or her feet. Now, if you were a really wealthy person, that means you had like 20 to 30 servants. Usually the lowest servant in the household would actually be on foot washing duty. Now, they would wash the guests or they would wash the family's feet when they came in. Now, that you have a little bit more context, we can read into this account that John witnessed, and he talks about it in John 13, chapter 1, or verse 1. He says, it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now, this gives us a reference point, right? It would have been very busy in Jerusalem during the Passover festival, everyone coming to the temple for the Passover. And he knew that he was going to the cross, right? Jesus knew, it says, he knew that his hour had come. And this phrase of having loved his own is something of great significance for both you and I, because surely Jesus loved his disciples, right? He loved those who were there with them. He taught them, he cared for them, he protected them, he led them. Now, there is also a love that Jesus has for all people, but there is also a love that he has for his own. And it isn't so much that Jesus' love is different, but the dynamic of the relationship, the dynamic of that love relationship is different. The love of Jesus for his own is greater because it has a response, right? And love answers love. Those of us who've walked into this relationship with Jesus are really his own. We belong to him. We are his own because he gives himself to us. We are his own because the Father gave us to him. We are his own because soon we would be purchased. So make no mistake, this is a message for not only the disciples who are there with Jesus, but also for all who would walk into this relationship with him. And this phrase here, he loved them to the end, means not just to the end of Jesus' life, not just to the end of Jesus' earthly life, though the disciples, shortly after this, they would deny him. They would give up on him. But in this passage, Jesus is saying he never gives up on them. And to the end means that love will never end. So Jesus will never stop loving his own. This isn't a love that comes and goes. So he decides to do something remarkable to illustrate that and to show us how we can bring even more freedom into our lives. So it continues in verse 4. It says, so he got up from the meal, he took off his outer clothing, and he wrapped a towel around his waist. Now after that, Jesus, he poured the water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. Well, John, who's seeing this, who's writing this with his own eyes, this is the basin. This is the basin that the owner of the house would have furnished to wash people's feet. And Jesus began to do the job of the lowest servant in the house. This is the moment. This is the moment. This is the night before he would go to the cross and he would suffer the most immense imaginable torture. Jesus decides in this moment not to think of himself, but he thinks of his disciples, loving them to the end. Even knowing that some of his disciples were about to treat him terribly, to leave him completely, and even deny who he is. Yet this is how he chooses to love them. Now make no mistake, this was an extreme act of servanthood, because according to the Jewish laws and traditions regarding the relationship between the teacher and his disciples, a teacher had no right to demand or expect his disciples to wash his feet. Therefore, it was absolutely unthinkable that the master, that the teacher, would wash his disciples' feet. Well, then he goes to Peter, who would just hours from now would even deny even knowing Jesus. And as he goes to wash Peter's feet, he says this in verse 6. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Well, Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Well, Peter probably thought he was doing something good by saying, well, you don't have to wash my feet. And yet Jesus says this powerful statement, unless I wash you, you have no part of me. Peter had to accept this from Jesus. And guess what? So do we. If we do not accept the humble service of Jesus to cleanse us, then we have no part with him. Having a part with Jesus simply means receiving something from him, not achieving something ourselves. And as we keep saying, having Jesus as the Lord of my life isn't a reality statement. It's a relationship statement. We are saying, Jesus, you are my Lord. You are my King. But if you think about it, Peter preached the good news. He cast out demons. He needed to have his feet washed. Peter saw the transfiguration. He saw the glory together with Moses and Elijah. And yet, he still needed to have his feet washed. Peter even walked on water. And yet, he still needed to have his feet washed. The foot washing was this powerful lesson in humility, but it was more than that. It was so much more than that. It shows that Jesus has a personal relationship and a deep connection with those who have been cleansed by him. He didn't say, if you're not a Bible expert, you have no part with me. He didn't say, unless you get everything right, you have no part with me. Having a part with Jesus begins simply when we receive something from him, not try to achieve something ourselves. Now, as Jesus finishes washing the feet, he continues in verse 12. It says, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and he returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. Verse 13, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is the messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Jesus was making it very clear, hey, I am Lord, I am King. You believe that about me? You are correct about that. He is saying, though, if I am your Lord and King, and I have done this for you, you should do this for one another. Which tells us that if we want to live a life to the full, if we want to live full of life, if we want to be fully immersed in the freedom that Jesus has for us, we need to take the heart of a servant on us. Now, what do you mean by that, Anthony? Well, let's think about that. You and I can only imagine what Jesus left in heaven to come and be here with us. We can only imagine the glory, the comfort, the honor that he left so that he could be ridiculed, beat, spit upon, and ultimately crucified. Our Creator, our God, our Lord, our King. And he does this to serve us. Look at what it says in Matthew 20. Jesus is speaking when he says in Matthew 20, 26 through 28, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So he is our example. So what does that mean? Do I have to just serve in church, Anthony? Well, that would be nice, but that's not just what I'm talking about. I'm not just talking about church. I'm talking about the freedom it brings when you live the role that God has given you, and that role is that of a servant. Well, Anthony, being a servant doesn't necessarily sound like freedom. Well, that's because you're looking at it from the wrong angle. You're thinking of it like a slave. Right, there are slaves and there are servants. You're a slave if you have to, but you're a servant if you get to. And as a servant, you take the focus off of yourself and joyfully give it to the other person. As a slave, you are forced to do things often, begrudgingly. But the example of Jesus should mark our attitude and our action. We, like Peter, right? We would probably be fine. We would have no problem if Jesus came down to us right now and said, hey, wash my feet. We'd probably be like, cool. Do you prefer a fragrance? Do you like a loofah? We would have no problem doing that for Jesus. But he tells us what? He tells us to wash one another's feet. One another. Anything you do for each other that washes away dust, grime, defeat, discouragement, that is foot washing. Because let's be honest, guys, in a society, it's easy for us to criticize those with dirty feet instead of washing them. What if you walked into your household this week and said, I'm not going to demand that they serve me, but I'm going to serve them? What if you walked into your job? What if you walked into your workplace this week and said, I am going to serve those around me, no matter what assignment that they're in? Because that's the thing. That's the thing. In life, I have a lot of different assignments, but my role is always the same. I am a servant. Because you know something? When you serve someone, you are actually exhibiting that freedom that comes from following Jesus. You serve because of what Jesus has done for you, that he loves you and that he accepts you and that he purchased you and that he gives you his righteousness. And as a result, he calls us to serve others so that they, in turn, can see the gospel of Jesus Christ played out. The book of Philippians that Paul wrote, he puts it this way. He says, Philippians 2, verse 5 through 11, it says, in your relationships with one another, you got to have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. He says, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. He had every right to. He was God, but he didn't choose to use that to his own advantage. What did he do? Rather, he made himself nothing, by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. What happened as a result of that? Verse 9, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the mind and the heart of Jesus. It's easy for us to read that. It's easy for us to read that description of Jesus and admire it from afar. But God wants us to be in awe of it and see it as something that we can enter into and imitate. Verse 5, what does it say? Have the same mindset that we, this is something that we choose to do, that we can place our mind in this and say, you know what? Verse 6 says, who being the very nature God did not consider equality with God as something to be used to his advantage. He didn't need to achieve equality with the Father. You know why? Because he already had it. He didn't need to prove himself. And do you realize that it is only the message of Jesus Christ that you get the verdict before the performance? I mean, think about it. The person who doesn't believe in God, they get their self-image from trying to be a good person. They believe that they're a good person and that they hope that they will eventually get the verdict that confirms that they are a good person. Right? Performance leads to a verdict. What? That is a terrible way to live. All of this means is that every day you are in the courtroom, you are on trial. That is the problem. But Paul is saying that because of Jesus Christ, the verdict leads to performance. Because guys, the verdict is in. You are set free. You are made forgiven. You are forgiven. You are made alive. You are loved. You are transformed. And now you are free to perform based upon that verdict. So because he loves me and he accepts me, I don't have to do things just to build up my resume. I don't have to do things just to make me look good. I can do things for the joy of doing them. I can help people to help people. Not so I can feel better about myself, not so I can fill myself up with emptiness. That is what happens when we serve people out of what Christ has done for us. I get the privilege at home. I get the privilege of serving my wife and my daughter in our household. And in fact, it brings me great joy to be able to do that. Because there is a freedom when you take the focus off of yourself and you place it on the other person, because it cultivates a sense of humility. I love this definition of humility that I took from our re-engage class, right? It says, humility is defined as having an accurate understanding of who you are, which leads to treating others as more important than yourself. What if we could do that in our relationships? If we could do that in our marriages? Re-engage is great. We got a new class starting soon. Sign up today. You are so secure. You are so secure. That means that you are so secure in your relationship with Jesus that you let him define you, that you don't need others to define you. What would it look like? What would it look like if you committed to walking out that door this week and everyone you came in contact with, you looked at them as more important than yourself? How could that change your relationship with your spouse, with your family, with your kids, with at work, with your dinner group, with your impact team? Jesus' message turned the world upside down. And serving others doesn't take something from you. It does something for you. I began serving in the church. I became a believer when I was in graduate school, and I started going to this church in Christ Community Church in Montgomery, Alabama. First day I showed up, they said they were looking for people to join their team, to serve on the teams. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, all right, I can do this. I can set up some chairs. I can tear down some chairs. I can help with parking because, you know, they had a parking ministry. I could do that. So I showed up to that little info table, and this sweet little old woman named Zelda, who was about 130 years old. I said, I'm ready to serve. And she goes, great, we really need help with the kids. And I was like, good luck with that. What can I set up? What can I tear down? What can I lift? And just as she said, well, we do need help in the kids director walked by and she was like, you're interested in kids? I was like, I didn't say that. She did. And somehow, I joined the kids team. And let me tell you something. Every week, for 2 years, I learned the Bible story, and I got to teach that Bible story to those kids. And now, over a decade later, I get to be up here teaching big kids. And I don't deserve it. But there is something that happens when you serve others. It doesn't take something from you. It does something for you. When you understand the grace, when you understand the grace that God has shown you in spite of your brokenness, it changes your heart towards God and towards others. I love the way that the Message translation puts this verse in Matthew 10:39. This is Jesus speaking, and just listen to it. It says, if your concern is to look after yourself, you'll never find yourself. But if you forget about yourself and you look at me and you look at Jesus, you'll find both yourself and me. You'll find both yourself and Jesus. Man, that's good. There is freedom. There is freedom in taking the focus off of yourself and serving those around you. Jesus is teaching something very significant the day that he washed those disciples' feet. You know, it's crazy because at the beginning of that story, they are coming into the Passover meal and they are arguing over who is the greatest. And Jesus turns it all on its head and says, if you want to be the greatest, if you want to experience life to the fullest in the life that I bring to you, then you need to serve those around you. Have you ever met someone who serves people so well? Do you ever have a bad thing to say about them? Not at all. In fact, usually when you meet these people, what is one of the first things that happens? They ask about you. That's what Jesus did. And he wants others to experience that through you. Jesus gives us a new identity. He forgives you. He doesn't hold on to your past. He doesn't say that your past is held against you, but he says, I want others to experience that too. Now go and give that to other people. What would it look like? What would it look like if we all decided today collectively to walk out of here and serve those around us instead of demanding to be served? Once we walk into this relationship with Jesus, once we let him change our heart, once we say that he is our Lord, not only does he begin to change our identity and he begins to change our likeness, and you know what he changes it into? He changes it into that of a servant. If you want to experience what this life that Jesus has for you, if you want to experience the fullness and the freedom that Jesus came to give you, he invites you to serve. Serve those around you. Serve your family. Serve your church family. So where does it start? Where does it start for you? Maybe it does. Maybe it does start here at Hoboken Grace. Maybe if you've never stepped into serving before, I want to encourage you today to do so. Because let me tell you something. You are going to serve alongside some of the most wonderful servants that God has put on this earth. Truly, those of you who are serving as part of Hoboken Grace every week, as part of our teams, you are allowing him to do some incredible work through you. Don't wait. Don't wait if you're here today because he is ready to work through you too. Maybe it's committing to loving and serving your spouse. Right? I mean, what would it look like if I let my wife sleep in, if I did those things that she wanted me to do without asking, if I made the commitment to love and serve my wife the way Jesus Christ loves and serves me? Because when you serve, you experience freedom. You do. You grow in your character. You experience God in new ways, and you embrace the statement that Jesus is my Lord. There is such a freedom in taking the focus off of oneself and putting it on other people. You don't need to prove yourself. You've already been forgiven because of what Jesus Christ did for you. He washed those disciples' feet, and he continues to wash yours. He washed away all of our sin, all of our filth, and all of the things that we wouldn't dare want to bring to him. And you know what? Not only does he say, bring it to him, but he says, I've washed it all away. That's what he wants to do with and for others. So when we commit to love and when we commit to serving others, we step into such an important aspect to the character and the person that is Jesus Christ. What does that verse say? It says, the Son of Man, that's Jesus. Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And he promises that when you do that, you'll experience something far more than what you give. We say this every time that we hold our team on board, and we every time somebody joins a team, we say the perfection of God's love is not when you receive more and more of it, it's when you give it away. And when you serve others, you experience more freedom, more love, more transformation. And when you serve, you're going to experience God and his love for you in a whole new dynamic. And it will enhance your understanding of who God is and how he loves you. And it isn't something that I can tell you about. It's going to be something that you're going to have to experience when you serve. I can tell you how great the pizza is at Mario's, but you're only going to know how good it is when you go and grab a slice for yourself. So serving others is the same. You can be told about its benefits, but you won't experience it until you participate. So take a bite. Experience God in a new and incredible way. And in that way, you will demonstrate that this is a relationship statement. That Jesus is my Lord, and I get to serve him. And as a result of serving, I get to experience him more and more and more. And I get to experience the freedom that he brings when I do so. Will you pray with me? Oh, Father, we wanna get this. I want people to get this because it's so true. I had no business in Montgomery, Alabama, teaching those kids. But because of your grace and your mercy, you allowed me to see and experience you in some pretty incredible ways. And my prayer is that there are people that are watching online, that there are people that are here today that are going to step into this relationship with you and begin to see what it means to serve other people, to serve their roommates, to serve their family, to serve their spouses, to serve their friends, to serve at work, to even walk out this door today. And just look at them, look at the people with a different lens. Say, God, you created these people. You created them in your image. And when I serve and love others, I reflect that in my life. What would it be like if everybody here right now just committed to serving one another? What an incredible world it would be. That's my prayer, God. Because of what you've done for us, may our hearts be forever changed in knowing that you washed us white as snow. And as a result, I am free to love and serve others. That's our prayer, God. And it's in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.